Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, guess what? We're still in Romans 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 25 of Romans chapter 16. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm going to try and talk to you about today is the everlasting God. It's in verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. I just kind of caught my eye. I had just read a little article and bulletin about entitled The Everlasting God. And I've been thinking about this last part of Romans for a while, but I'm not going to deal with that as I normally do. This is going to be a more topical sermon than an expository sermon. But while it will be topical, it will also be expository, which is the way you're supposed to do it. We want to know what the scriptures say. Now, this particular word I looked at, if you want to know, is G166 according to Strong's numbers. Now, it is translated as everlasting, but also in many places it is translated as the word eternal. It's the same Greek word. I want to be clear with that, okay? In 69 times, this word is used in the New Testament as everlasting or eternal. So I want to tell you of the everlasting God. That's what we're shooting for today. But in order to explain some things about the everlasting God, you need to know about some of the everlasting things. I'm going to start with one from the Old Testament. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I've got all these written down. I want to talk about the everlasting covenant. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. These are the words of David as he lay dying. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. God's covenant with David was an everlasting covenant. And I looked in the Hebrew, it's the same sort of word. What does eternal mean? What does everlasting mean? Without beginning and without end. That's what it means. That's the way Thayer's got it defined. Strong has it defined this way, and I like this too. Perpetual. But I like that. Without beginning and without end. God's covenant with David is an everlasting covenant. It's ordered in all things, and it's sure. Now, there's a reason why it's ordered in all things and it's sure. It's God's covenant. It's not David's covenant. It's God's covenant. Now, but David made this statement here at the front. Although my house be not so. Now, wait a minute. It's not his whole family, is what David is saying here. But if this is the Mosaic covenant, weren't all of David's children and weren't they Jews? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the everlasting covenant. David was speaking of the Messianic covenant that was actually given to Adam and Eve before the law ever was, where it said the seed of the woman's going to come and going to bruise the head of the serpent. Even though the serpent will bruise his heel, he's going to bruise the head of his serpent. And that's who David was looking for. David was looking for and believing the one who said, God said to him, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That's who David was looking for. That's who this covenant is about. It's about the Lord of glory, and I'll just say it. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messianic covenant, because David was looking for his Lord to come. And he believed his Lord was coming. That's the covenant. Now, this covenant was not so with his house. His family, his wives, his sons, and his daughters. But this was an everlasting covenant without beginning and without end. Oh, I like that. It was made before the law, and it was believed on in the world, but not by all the world. The second thing I want to mention is everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's John 3:36. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 4 and verse 14 puts it this way. He was talking to the woman at the well. He said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That's life without beginning and life without end. The life that God has given to his people is a perpetual life. So, am I saying that the everlasting life we are given is without beginning and will have no end? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus Christ said that. And yes, let's be clear. This is one I want to try and say this succinctly and correctly. Being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world is not the same thing as being in Christ. We can't know. But as far as in God's sight, we are in Christ from before the beginning of the world. He chose us in his Son. God sees everything all the time. And I can't even explain that. And it's a good thing we're not in the explaining business. We're in the preaching business. God sees all, knows all. We, being very, very finite beings, are really horrible at understanding eternal things. We can't grasp it. But it's in here. It's in this book. The more we learn, the more we find out we don't know. All believers know is nothing until Christ reveals himself and shows us a little bit of how big a sinner we are and how great a God he is. Paul tells us we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. God sees us in his Son from the beginning. And I'm going to tell you this. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I certainly will. God's sight is the only sight that matters. I mean, I like to see things. I like to learn things. I like to know things. But what I see, what I learn, and what I know don't matter compared to what God knows. And God sees us in his Son from the beginning of the world, from before the foundation of the world. And we don't. We see through a glass darkly. We see shadows. We get glimpses. We have his word. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of stuff in this book that I don't understand. And if anybody tells you that they understand everything in this book and they've got it down pat and they have a perfect systematic theology, I'm going to tell you right now, they're lying to you. Because no man can grasp the entirety of the scripture. And the scripture doesn't tell the entirety of God. It doesn't tell the entirety of Christ. We've got four gospels that tell us of Christ. Now this is just Christ's ministry for what, 3.5 years. And you understand, we got maybe what, 200 pages? And four chapters of John is taken up with one 24-hour period. I think there's a lot of stuff that's been left out. But here's the thing. God has always known his people. He chose them in his Son, in the Son. The amazing thing to me sometimes is how much I don't know. Because the more I learn, the more I find out what I don't know. But what about this everlasting life? 1 John 5 and verse 11 puts it this way. And this is the record. There's a record. There's a record. And this is the record that God has given to us, believers, his chosen people brought in, has given to us eternal life. Everlasting life. And here's how it's eternal. This life is in his Son. The Son's eternal. Therefore, our life is eternal. Because it's, this life is in his Son. It's in his Son. Everlasting life, our life, given to us by God, is in Christ. And it has always been in Christ. Now, believers don't know it until Christ makes it known. How can you believe on him in whom you've not heard? You can't. You can't. It has always been in Christ until he makes it known. I believe him. I know that. And I really wish I knew that. He has given us his life. Our life is not our own. You are bought with a price. But our life that we've been given is in him. Because of everlasting redemption. Everlasting redemption. Hebrews 9:12 put it this way, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that word eternal redemption is everlasting. Now this is another tricky one. You have eternal redemption without beginning and without end. Now, how's that possible? How's that possible? Because we say it and we preach it. Redemption is a one-time work. It was the death of Christ on the tree. His blood was shed, and God raised him from the dead. And he made the offering before the Father. And that's true. Redemption is a one-time work. But redemption was and is in the thoughts of God from the beginning. Because this was not a new idea. The redemption of Christ, I know some people preach it like this. Well, like it was just, I got to do something to get somebody saved. So he tried to save people by the law in the Old Testament, and that didn't work out good. No, David said it was an everlasting covenant. You know why? Because it's an everlasting redemption. This was the thought of God. This was not a new idea. Redemption was purposed by an, we'll get to it maybe, an eternal purpose. And it was carried out in time. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. It's an everlasting redemption, purposed and planned and provided. Oh my. And because of this everlasting redemption, guess what? Salvation is an everlasting salvation. Hebrews 5 and 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. As redemption is everlasting, so is the salvation purchased by that redemption. Redeemed eternally, salvation is also eternal. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and he always shall be the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Oh my, his salvation is everlasting. In the beginning, God. And the first thing God commanded was, let there be light. And he is the light. He is the light. And in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we come to the everlasting God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. At Psalms 90 and verse 2. And thou is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. I like that phrase. It's in it a couple of times in I think in Psalms and Proverbs, from everlasting to everlasting. You understand? That's the definition of everlasting. Without beginning and without end. From everlasting to everlasting. I can't get a hold of that. I really wish I could. But he's the everlasting God. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. He is the Lord. Let him do what he wills. You know why they said that? Because he's the Lord. He's going to do as he wills. Among all the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And that's the way it always has been and the way it always shall be. He has no beginning and he has no end because the everlasting God is eternal. Where was God before the beginning? He was there. He was there. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He is, by definition, the self-existent one. He has no beginning and no end, And guess what? The everlasting Son was with God in the beginning. And the everlasting Son was God from the beginning. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Oh my. An everlasting God. And an everlasting God gives an everlasting mercy. Here's another one, Psalms 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. God's mercy is eternal, eternal, without beginning or end. What did he say about his mercy? Well, he said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And he has had mercy on us from the beginning until no end. How's that possible? Well, he's God. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. Proverbs tells us, I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning or ever the earth was. That's from Proverbs chapter 8, where it's speaking of wisdom. And that wisdom is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Because Jesus Christ is the everlasting wisdom of God. His mercy endures forever. He has everlasting mercy for his people. You understand? He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He didn't say I'll have mercy when I'll have mercy. There's no time element given with God. If God's merciful toward you, he always has been merciful toward you. If God is gracious toward you, he always has been gracious toward you. It's just you don't know about it. He knew. He knows, and he always has known. And here's one that's good. The everlasting God who has everlasting mercy is also the everlasting King. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, eternal, everlasting, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Also in the Old Testament, Psalm 93 and verse 2 says this, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Thou art from everlasting. Now, I said it before, I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Here it says he's the King eternal, the everlasting King. What's that mean? Without beginning and without end. That's what the word means. We say that Christ was king. You know, people are waiting for Jesus Christ to come back as king. He was king when he was here. He was king before he came here. He's king right now. Now he's just coming back this time with it written on his thigh and on his vesture. But he has always been the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the eternal King. Now a few knew it when he was here before, but most people didn't know. But I'm going to tell you this, next time he comes, more are going to know it and they're not going to like it. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to come cover them. From who? From the eternal King, the everlasting King. They're not going to like it, but they're going to know. And lastly here for this part, and I saw another angel fly into the midst of heaven. This is Revelation 14 and verse 6. Having the everlasting gospel. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The everlasting God has his everlasting gospel. I like that. You know the great thing about good news, Walter? Is everlasting. It's everlasting. His good news, his gospel, is everlasting. It didn't have a beginning and it didn't have an end. I already said it. He's the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Prophesied in the garden. The first time the gospel was preached, Jesus Christ preached it to Adam and Eve. And people think we're making up new stuff when we talk about election and redemption and salvation. Oh, no, it's not new. It's not new. It may be new to you. It may be new to you. But it's not new. It's from full in this book. His throne was established of everlasting. Established of old. The gospel is everlasting. The gospel is perpetual. I like that. The good news of Jesus Christ has no beginning and it'll have no end. You understand? We're going to be rejoicing in that lamb slain from before the foundation of the world throughout all eternity. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Oh, I like that. That's good news. That's good news. And we have been granted, given the right, the duty, the responsibility, the privilege, and the pleasure to preach and to hear his everlasting gospel. It's an amazing thing. Well, I read it here. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of what? Of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. It wasn't known. This gospel was not known as it is now. But is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of the faith. The gospel is no longer a mystery. The lamb slain from before the foundation of the world has come.